What is your name?
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Monday in the big city, and it's freezing out there for some of you. Nice little cold front came in after a little rainstorm, and the chill is in the air. It's good stuff, fellas. What's up?
Are we calling this a cold front?
Not me.
Okay.
No, but I know that plenty are. I saw ski hats today.
Oh, my God.
Puffy jackets. I'm like, really?
Uggs. I bet all the hoes have Uggs on already. Ridiculous. And yep. Some dudes, probably.
Yeah.
Tom Brady fans. Yeah, my wife texted me. She had to go. She had jury duty today. So she texts me and says, it's cold out. And I was like, okay, let's slow down. It's not cold out. It's cool.
Right.
It's crisp.
Right.
Not cold. Right now, I believe the high is 57.
Mm-hmm.
That's not cold.
No, I went to get coffee this morning, and I just had a long sleeve dry fit on with the sleeves rolled up. And they're like, really, Joel? Really? Is it really that cold out? I'm like, not for me, but that idiot that just walked down the street with a puffy coat and a stocking cap on, it might be a little brisk.
I got a short sleeve on.
Yeah. You're a man,
Nick. I'm a man.
Because you're right. A man.
You had a
Both
jacket
you
on.
Guys?
You had a jacket on over
long
there.
Long sleeve. Nope. No jacket.
This is just like a...
Long sleeve.
Sweatshirt kind of thing.
Long sleeve.
Yeah. Pulled up.
Pull this.
Short sleeve.
Okay.
I'm going to send you to the
Where's
tundra.
Your jacket
Nick,
at?
I'm going to send you to the tundra
There's
in
no jacket,
January.
Sure.
And I want to see you go short sleeves.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Let's take a trip to
Let's
Green
do
Bay.
That. Just Are go you... to Lambeau and send you out in the cold in short sleeves. See how tough
you
get.
Do you get cold easy?
Yeah, that's the reason why I'm shocked that I'm the one in short sleeve, honestly.
You do?
Yeah, I'm really like...
See, I don't for some reason. Like, it can get down to the 40s, low 40s. I can walk around out there short sleeves, no problem.
No, I was completely being facetious. I'm absolutely the worst.
You're always bitching about it.
Yeah, I'm the worst when it comes down to cold weather.
Now,
I'm surprised it's 57 right now as a high. Is that really the case?
It's dry in the last hour.
I mean,
or so,
I'm on weather.com and it says right now
those are accurate.
At 1:15,
all those things are accurate.
Well, he's got a weather station at Laminack Manor too. Don't forget that.
At 1:15 p.m. temperature 57 is the high. Feels like 54.
Now I will say this: like you go home when it's cold out. There's no humidity in the air, so it can be below freezing.
That's much easier to tolerate.
And it's so easy to tolerate. Up here, when we get those 4 or 5 days a year when it's around teetering around freezing, it feels like it's 20 degrees cooler because when that moisture in the air freezes, it has an effect. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm digging it, so I'm good.
I am too. I love it. I mean, more so than anything else, I just like the fact that you can wear some sleeves and be comfortable instead of always being armpitted out like certain people.
Plus, you can wear it. Okay, I deserve that.
Without cranking up the AC.
I sweat a lot. I'm an animal. What can I say?
Pitts McGee over here has a tendency to get a little puddly under the pit.
I do.
Yeah.
Maybe I won't sweat as much. I bet you, though, I'll sweat in the fall temperature still. It's weird, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like that's common, though. You're talking about with your pits, too?
Yeah.
I feel like that's common, though, man.
I sweat. I'm like, I don't know.
Especially
I guess
when
I'm
you're
hot
like
natured.
You wear like a fleece or like a couple of sweaters or something.
I regret wearing this. I'm burning up.
Well,
and this is just a little. I'm just going to take it off and do a show without a shirt.
No, do not do that. Nobody. Thankfully, the video stream is down. So
is it
still?
Yeah.
I wondered why we weren't
I got
getting
all
quite,
dressed up for this.
Yeah, and I wonder why we weren't getting quite the responses online. That we had been getting on video stream.
That is a bit disconcerting.
It's been months. So we got plenty to talk about. Anything that I missed? You guys have a good weekend?
Not bad. I was busy. I don't know about you guys.
You had your rocks off. I know that. You had your rocks everywhere.
Yes. So I guess in order of progression, I left here Friday and went down to Honda of Victoria and traded my truck in and got a Honda Accord.
Did you cry?
No. I was nervous as hell. I'm not going to lie. I was very nervous. But first of all, I just want to say thank you to those guys. Mm-hmm. And this is, they don't sponsor me. They don't sponsor the show. It's just, you guys know how long I bitched about buying a car. They made it so easy that it was worth the drive. And Victoria's a long way. It was almost like an hour and a half, I think, from here.
It's far from me.
Yeah.
So
but
it's got to be far
from
you.
Dude, it was absolutely worth every mile that I drove down there to get it in back. I got, not only did I get a great deal, they were nice. There was no like pressure, any of that stuff that I would normally come on here and bitch about. So thank you to everybody out there that made it, I actually enjoyed buying the car.
That's good. Which is you, not, you were not enjoying the process a couple days ago.
No, it's not a thing that happens. So to Tom and the whole crew out there, thank you very much. That was, and they're not, again, they're not sponsors. They were just nice. They were easy to get along with. But I did get a good deal on it, and I got the trade-in taken care of and all that. And I was so nervous that I was going to miss it. And then, you know, I'm driving back and everything is going smooth. And then I wake up Saturday morning and I'm trying to get some rocks put into my, I have a circle drive and in the middle of it is just a bed that I have to weed constantly.
That's where the valet lot was at
first,
right? It's
pretty big. It's a pretty big flower bed that I'm always, it takes me about 2.5 hours to weed it. Yeah, just to pull weeds, 2.5 hours. So I was like, I'm going to fill half of this in with rock. So I had bull rock delivered to the house. 3 cubic yards of bull rock. But in order to put it in, I had to go buy the stuff to shape the bed in the way that I wanted it. It's just metal, 8-foot metal pieces. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, I'm going to go get that stuff. And I opened the door and went, dang it. I almost cursed. But I had forgot I didn't have a truck. And I got to go pick up these 8-foot metal. I was like, of course. Day one without a truck. I need a truck. Day one.
Did you take the new car to do it?
Yeah, because my wife was like, well, you can take my car. And I was like, you know what? I did this to me.
You posted a picture of it. Yeah,
I'm like not going to make you
seats down
be the de facto truck now because she has a Rogue. She has an SUV or I don't know what it's called. Something like that.
Yeah, it's a Rogue. I've seen it.
But I don't know if it's an SUV
it's
or
a crossover.
A crossover. So, but normally, it could, like she had to go buy me a new wheelbarrow. It fit in there. No problem. So... But I was like, of course. And so I can't make her be the truck now. So there I go, my brand new car down to Home Depot to buy a bunch of metal and salt for the salt,
bring,
for the
like,
water
towels and everything so it didn't scratch anything.
2 moving blankets.
Yeah.
I had a condom. I just put a big condom on the inside.
I would have done the same thing.
Or what That's is hilarious. It? What do, it's not a condom. What do women use?
Diaphragm.
Yes. I basically had a car diaphragm. And it worked. I mean, I know this. I can buy 8-foot lengths of timber as long as they're not like, you know, a 2x12. That probably won't fit.
Because that's next.
But I can fit. I mean, you never know. So,
you could start building a log cabin back on the back 40.
You consider like buying like a beat up truck?
I have, but you know what I'd
just
rather
to
do?
Keep around and never drive?
I'd rather have a pool. So next year, Nora and I are getting a pool. I'm not getting a truck.
I thought about it for the dog pound. Because, you know,
a truck?
Yeah, I don't, or a Jeep. Because I don't want those. And Lisa has a tendency, like, what, this weekend, we had a locksmith at the house and we had the carpet cleaners. And Lisa's like, I'm just going to take the dogs for a car ride. I go, you're going to do what? And especially because she just got a new car. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to throw all the dogs in the car. And I'm like, Lisa, you got all these dogs, four of which are teetering around 100 pounds. We don't need you driving around. And when she came down here, remember, I forgot my laptop last week, and she came to bring it to me. She brought all the dogs with. The minute that she stopped and people were coming out of our offices, it was like literally who let the dogs out. I mean, seriously, I thought she was going to get eaten by the fact that they were all barking at the car. I'm like, you can't do that in a nice SUV. You can do that in a crap truck or a crap
Jeep.
But
honestly, I wouldn't have the heart to throw them in a truck. I'd feel like my dumbass dog
would jump out. Outside. I would never do outside in the back. I'm saying, like, you know, if you have, like, a Jeep Cherokee or something like that, you put the seats down and you just got that big opener, you drop the back window. But I hate when I see people putting dogs in the back of pickup trucks, especially if they chain them up.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. So you got your rocks off. You got your car.
I got the car. I got the rocks done. lot of rocks.
How long did all that take you? Because you said 2.5 hours for the flower bed. Nick and I are thinking it takes 2.5 minutes to pull your wallet out or your checkbook, and you're good with the lawn service.
Yeah, but that would have been expensive because just the rocks alone were like,
that doesn't look cheap.
Rocks whatever plus the delivery fee was like $250
just to drop it off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and the of course the rocks themselves. There's this place called A&A Stone right down the road.
Wow.
There's like three different places.
Yeah. It's in another county.
No, it's literally right down the road from me. But so, yeah. So it probably took, I don't know, maybe 2.5 hours total. I did most of it on Saturday and then ran out of daylight. So then I woke up Sunday morning.
Did you enjoy that?
No. Do I enjoy moving 7,500 pounds worth of rocks?
You just enjoy yard work.
No, I really don't.
Would you say it seems like he enjoys yard work?
No, I mean, I would pick on him. I think it's because he has so much property. It's way cheaper if he does it himself.
And I enjoy the riding lawnmower. I enjoy riding around the yard on a mower, drinking a beer, mowing the yard.
That part is weird.
I enjoy.
That is weird.
Weed eating, I don't mind it, except the ditches. That sucks because it takes several hours. Pulling weeds, I hate. So there are some things I don't mind. There's the one thing I enjoy, and the rest of it I absolutely hate.
When you're riding the mower, you listen to the NASCAR?
No, I just drink beer.
Okay.
Yeah. All
right. That is so weird.
Why?
So is that normal? Is that what people do when they have their own, like they drink beer and
on the riding mower?
Yeah.
Dude, because again, it seems like everything I do takes 2 hours. So it takes 2 hours to mow the yard on the riding mower. So I'll drive around.
Yeah, last time you took a crap here, we almost didn't do the show.
Now, what I'll do is, like, I'll weed eat first. I'll get all that stuff out of the way. The last thing I do is mow. That way I can cool down, drink a couple beers, and mow the yard.
I guess it's not a bad idea if you have that much property.
Keep it straight and narrow.
I mean, you know, just depends.
Backtrack and no one notices? Yeah. You're not trying to put the pattern in of a Major League
Baseball stadium? It's mowing. I'm not trying to be precise with it. I mean, I want it to look good, but it's whatever.
There you go. All right, well, we're just getting started. HRNP listener line wide open right now, but you know it likes to fill up with all you suspects that have things on your mind you want to get off your chest. So you can do that at 713-780-3776, where you can call and text, or you can reach out via Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer, Nick.
I'm sure we'll talk plenty of football, too, which I'm so disappointed, by the way, because in the picks against the spread, I went 5-0 this weekend, and our show picks didn't bother to make a bet one on my bookie. And I knew I should have got on there and put some scratch on it. God, this will be the only weekend I ever go 5-0. And dummy me didn't get on my bookie. But don't make the mistake that I did. If you think you know what's going on, you like betting on the games, get on my bookie and get you some action on those games. Make the games interesting, man. You're already playing fantasy. You're already watching the games. You're already an expert at it. Make them enjoyable. Make it fun with MyBookie. And remember, who you're betting on is as important as who you're betting with. That's why MyBookie is the online destination to get action on any game. They're safe, reliable. They've been around for years. It's why I recommend them. It's why I know you'll like it. And the best part is, when you win, they pay. That's so important when you're with a site that maybe you're putting some scratch on a game. You want to get your money when you win, and MyBookie pays. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys, I mentioned it earlier, but you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player scores in a game. That's so cool. So on your computer, on your mobile phone, wherever it is, if you're driving, pull over, go to mybookie.ag to set up your account right now. And when you do, when you set up your account the first time, they will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. That's right, a dollar for dollar match on your first deposit. All you have to do is use promo code radio when you set up and make that deposit to activate that offer. So check them out today. It's mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Just getting started. Segment number two of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects. It is ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel, president accounted for. We'll take you through the week. And a reminder, Friday, we are on remote at Prime Social. So if you're in the mood to play some poker, get your weekend started early and stop by Prime Social. There's a bunch of us that'll be broadcasting there. So check that out. And you, my friend, are headed to the Rose City.
Yeah, I won't be here Friday. Well, I'm leaving Wednesday after the show. I'm catching a red eye to Portland. I'll do the show Thursday from Portland. Friday, one remote, so I won't be on the show. And then Monday, I'll be doing the show from Portland. Then back Tuesday after I catch the red eye. So busy, busy week for me. Do you have any idea who you're going to have fill in Friday?
I just found out about it. So no, because I was anticipating you were going to do all. Yeah, so no, we'll work on it.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll try and figure it all out. Fridays are always easier, too, simply because football's on the horizon. Plenty of things to talk about that way. The only thing will be the comedian.
Well, just skip it.
Yeah, we did that the last time.
Okay.
People look forward to it. So,
somebody's getting on me. They said, I don't know what a cold front is. Barry, the temperature dropped more than 30 degrees in 20 hours. It's a cold front. First of all, Captain Technical, if it's not cold outside, then it's not a cold front to me. So whatever your definition of a cold front is good for you. And by the way, can I just say something? Because, you know, I was like, hey, I finally got my car, and just put it out there on Twitter because I had been talking about it. And what is the deal with people in this city when you go, first of all, so many people are like, you're going to regret it. I'm, okay, Dad, thanks. I appreciate you. You're stupid. Don't get rid of your truck. Okay.
Oh, I was going to ask, regret what?
Getting rid of the truck. Second of all, people are like, oh, good luck when it floods. Well, oh, I'm sorry, but I'm not one of the dumbasses that drives through a flood in a truck or a car. Why do you think now because I own a car that I'm going to flood? When I owned a truck, I wouldn't go through standing water.
Congratulations, you got 2 extra feet. There's like 10 feet of water, 20 feet of water.
Yeah, like the fact that my car is, you know, 17 inches lower than the truck, if it's even that. Now all of a sudden,
I can't drive through.
Yeah, all of a sudden, now I can't drive in the city of Houston when it starts raining. It's just ridiculous. I got so many of those tweets. Good luck when it floods. What are you talking about? When it floods, I stay home. I never drove out in the rain in a truck, much less I'm going to do that in a car.
Once again, instead of being proactive and going, you know what, Barry, if it floods and you ever get in a bind, I got you. I got friends out that way if you need something. Instead, it's, God, you're a dumbass. Wait till your car floods.
Because I bought a car like millions of people in this city own. A car.
Hope you got full coverage, because otherwise you're screwed.
I got an outboard motor on my Accord. That way I can just drive through ponds and lakes.
Pull the ripcord on it?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So what do you guys want to get to first? Because there is a
Texans ton.
Yeah, Texans, Astros, Sunday night football, lots of college and pro football. Right off the top, too, we got to get – I guess we'll get to it because we're going to get Texans first. But Nick gets a lot of kudos for one major play that he had. Texans, look, I know people are giddy. It's crazy because we were here 3 weeks ago and we looked at the schedule and I said to you, I mean – inconceivable this team could be 3-3 after the next 3 weeks, but yet 2 fourth down coaching faux pas and a backup quarterback that found a way to throw 2 picks in about a minute and a half have you sitting high atop, well, not high atop, but in a tie in the AFC South for first place. Never would have thought that was possible.
No, I didn't think. I thought that they were going to be dead in the water. It's a good thing that Jacksonville lost its identity.
How the hell did that
happen? It's a good thing Tennessee couldn't find the end zone to save their life, and then the Colts are still the Colts. I mean, this is just a bad division right now, and no one expected the Jags to be underperforming like they are. Of course, they've been racked with some injuries, but I don't know if you watched the game yesterday, but A.J. Bouye struggled. I mean,
yes, he did.
They're not having a good...
No. Here's the other thing, too, by the way. Jalen Ramsey, Mr. Diarrhea of the Mouth, talking about how great he is and his team is and everything else, sure got constipated when they got their ass handed to him. Jalen, what do you think about the way your defense is playing? I don't know.
Huh? What?
Jalen,
new phone,
this,
who it is?
Are you guys still the number one defense? I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah.
He got real quiet once he got his ass handed to him because that's ugly. And if you're Jacksonville and you're looking at what's going on and the fact that last year you thought and everybody thought going into this season that you'd be the favorite in the AFC, you might want to pick up the phone and say, hey, New Orleans, are you sure Teddy Bridgewater's your guy long term? And hey, Tampa, Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you're really going to go with Jameis, any chance you might want a 7th-round pick or something else for Ryan Fitzpatrick? Because Bortles is hot garbage like we knew all along.
Well, I mean, First of all, give credit to Dallas's defense.
Yeah, which we said
it,
was
it
better
is
than,
legitimately yep. a good defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, take nothing away from that, but I think the Jags defense let them down quite a bit. For whatever reason, they just could not stop the run at all.
But that's crazy because I remember last week AJ tweeted out AFC South might officially be a train wreck again.
Yeah,
and it's so true because. 2-3 weeks ago, you thought it was a really good division because you had Jacksonville, Tennessee, two teams you believed in, or at least one in Jacksonville, and then the hopes that you had for the Texans because of Deshaun Watson.
And the Colts look like they might make some waves with Andrew Luck being back.
And now that's completely turned around again.
Yeah, and that's I don't know how it's going to shape out, but the Texans and Texans fans can thank their lucky stars that they're in a bad division. So,
no question.
But as far as the game goes, as far as the Texans-Bills game, yep. I mean, first things first, I'm watching it on delay, but so I'm able to kind of go back and since I wasn't tweeting or anything, but I'm like, first of all, really with all the penalties again, at some point to me, that is 1,000% coaching and discipline. There's no reason to have pre-snap penalties, especially on offense at home. That is just lack of discipline and bad coaching and not holding those guys accountable. And I don't know what's the deal with this team, but apparently they were the number one pre-snap penalty team in the NFL and the Bills were number two. And my God, it was ugly early on because everybody was moving before the ball was snapped. And Clowney's just is as guilty of that on the other side of the ball as the offensive line is.
And by the way, when's Clowney just going to realize that the penalties are getting ridiculous for just stupid emotional outbursts?
Yeah, that too. He's got to control himself. But one of the things I noticed, one of the things, especially early on when Watson kept getting sacked, is we know that this offensive line is bad. I mean, right. We know that. It's not like you almost get tired of talking about it and repeating the same things over and over. But dude, I can't tell you how many times I would stop. He would get sacked. I would go back and look, and it would be 5-on-4. You'd have 5 offensive linemen having to block 4 pass rushers from the Buffalo Bills, and he would still get – the pocket would collapse. He would still get sacked. How do you – you have the numbers advantage. At one point – I'm not lying. At one point, they kept so many people in that the Bills rushed 4, and every man except one was double-teamed. You had 4 guys. You had 3 of them getting double teamed. One guy had a 1-on-1 matchup. They still got a sack. And you that's see, how piss poor this offensive line is.
And you always see those tweets where like, where Bill O'Brien makes a play call that makes you feel like he doesn't have belief in his team. Like, can we fault him for that anymore? Like, maybe you can, maybe you can, but like, he knows what's on the field to a certain extent because that lack of discipline you mentioned, he has to be aware of it. He can't be, like, completely unaware of the fact that some of these players might make that mistake when you consider how many penalties have been thrown up.
Well, he knows. The problem is he doesn't have a choice. You just go from bad to terrible if you're going to replace that. You got to pick your poison. Do you going to put in a guy that's bad and moves before the snap or a guy that's terrible but won't move? But he's also so slow, the fact that he's not going to move, he's going to get beat and your quarterback's going to get murdered. On the field. I mean, they have no
here's
choice.
The thing. There's fault all the way around, but the offensive line is definitely putrid, right? But at the same time, Deshaun, and he hears all these things as well as he knows what he's been able to do in the past. When he gets out of the pocket, when he scrambles around a little bit and buys time, he's been able to keep this offense moving and do some things. But right now, I think he's holding the ball a little too long. And he's also a little loose with it, as we saw with the fumble, where I think that you have to, as much as you want to believe that my scrambling is the reason why and that we can extend plays, get first downs, keep the ball moving. You just got to be smart. And the reality check is, hey, look, this offensive line is garbage. And as much as I can extend a play, I can also give things away. Because the pick, which was awful too, is because he had guys all over him as well. And he kind of panicked and let it fly. Bad decision on his part. But at the same time, as much as you love his athleticism, I think he's got to get rid of it a little sooner, too, just to try and help them out a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think he's holding the ball as long as he did before, but he still is. I just think he's being kind of careless with it. He's thinking
that's true.
He's just throwing the ball up and expecting his receivers to go make plays. Listen, the secondary on the other side of the ball is still NFL-caliber players. You still have to take care of the ball. You have to make good decisions. And his decision-making the last couple of games has not been good. And I think he's relying on magic or his arm or whatever it is to the detriment of turnovers. And in the pocket, he's got to take care of the ball better.
No doubt. He just has, as I'm saying. Overall, I mean, you got to treat that thing a little bit better.
Yeah.
And the more loose you get with it, realize those guys are experts at targeting that ball and poking it out, punching it out. And if you make it easier for them, it's only going to be trouble for you and your offense. So we'll continue to roll on. We see you on the phone line, Charles and Robert. We'll get to you as well. Just a half hour into the three-hour show, so plenty of time for us to catch up. You can get off your chest what you have on your mind, and we can go from there. It's 713-780-3776. That's the listener line if you want to get in. HRNP is so gracious enough to provide it. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter, and we'll continue with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stay too long. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Guess who's back? Trey's back. That means the cues coming in and out of breaks are going to be an adventure for Barry and I, but we are back on The Usual Suspects. Always good to see the round mound of red hair and sound in the studio booth. So, Trey, welcome aboard. We were talking a little bit about the Texans prior to the break, and the fact that, look, I don't think you can catch any more breaks than this team has caught. I mean, the fact of the matter is, thank you. They should be sending big baskets of thanks to Frank Reich, Jason Garrett, and Nathan Peterman. But because of those three stooges, you're in first place in the division. And, oh, look, you got Jacksonville at Jacksonville this weekend with a whole lot of question marks on that team as well. You could be catching them at the right time and put yourself right back in the mix for this division, which, yes, it's crap, but if you win it, you still go to the playoffs.
I tell you what, though, when Peterman first came in the game and dropped that dime for a touchdown, I was like, uh-oh. If he's going to do that, this is going to be ugly. And then, you know, Peterman going to Peterman.
I was just going to say, that's the thing. I mean, I was the same way. I'm
Keenum,
looking at him
Keenum,
going,
then Peterman.
Maybe this guy learned a lesson. Maybe this guy's going to, you know, do what they need him to do. And then, oh, there you go. And by the way, if you didn't think that one was good, oh, here's another one.
What I love is that they were just raving about how the Bills were like, oh, man, we love Peterman. He's so good. Like, oh, we don't understand why he's not starting. He's just so good. He's so good. And he throws that touchdown pass. They're like, see, they love him. They love him.
Well, you heard what they said, too.
And I then mean,
there's
the
a reason
rest
we
of
were
the story.
At practice the other day. We know the things he does when
that's
practice.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm just adding to it the actual specifics.
Yeah.
We've seen him in the video room. We've seen him on the practice field. You know those bright lights are pretty bright.
Yeah, and you're still going to make – I mean, if you can't read a defense, you can't read a defense.
Rockets used to have a guy by the name of Dan Lange.
You make bad decisions.
Dan Lange, they traded for him. They actually traded the rights to Robert Tractor Trailer
for
Dan Lange. And Dan Lange was a Hall of Fame practice player. But when the bright lights came on, Dan Lange's grapes got the size of snow peas and he disappeared. So, you know, maybe Nathan Peterman's got that going for him. But he gift wrapped a ball game for this team that, again, where's the running game, too? Miller had a couple where he, he's getting a couple yards after the contact and he's pounding through a little bit. And I don't know,
Blue
some
had
people are saying
one,
he needs more opportunities.
Too, but Blue had a decent run too. So.
Yeah.
On special teams?
Here's the problem though. You know that with this offensive line, they're not good at pass protecting and they're not good at run block. They're just not good. It's disappointing because in the first couple of games, I mean, they were running the ball. The Texans were up there in rushing yards per game for the first couple of games of the season. When they were losing, they were still able to run the ball. But for some reason, I don't know if people are figuring it out or if the O-line just lost it or what, but they can't run the ball. They can't protect Deshaun Watson. I mean, he had 140. It was an ugly offensive game.
They can call great plays inside the one or inside the five.
No, they can't.
What in the world is going on?
Red zone is still atrocious.
You didn't need a tying field goal. You were inside, what, the five? First and goal? Those first two plays were atrocious. It's like, didn't you learn your lesson a week ago? Evidently not.
Yeah, I specifically made a note. You can't run up the middle. You can't pass protect. And getting QT going side to side isn't working. What the hell are they? I mean, at some point you would think that they would just run. If I've got it first and goal at the one, I'm just going three fade routes to DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, I'm not.
Go get it. Go get it. Go get it. What the hell? You can't. You do anything else?
Well, I can tell you
that side to side ain't
working.
You can't,
no, that doesn't work. But I said this in the Cowboy game. At least stack the line and make it look like either it's going to be a quarterback sneak or you're going to hand it off and they're going to go over the top. And then if you want, you fake it. You drop the tight end out. From the line and have him go with you. And then Deshaun basically has space with not three guys pursuing him, probably just
they
one.
They did that though, Joel. That's the one on the, if you're looking at the goalpost on the right side when he got murdered by Smith. They did that. They rolled a tight end.
That was
with
out
him.
Of the shotgun formation, Barry. That's what I'm saying. Stack it and make it look like a run play so that they bring their big package in. They've got everybody on the line, and you're not dealing with defensive backs. You're dealing with linemen trying to keep up with either Deshaun or a receiver dropping out.
We'll agree to disagree on that's that. Fun. But I just it's really sad to see that. If this they now the one bright spot, I think, and it's so sad that we're having to talk crap about a team that won on Sunday, but the one lone bright spot to me that won them this game was special teams. Special teams and defense. They had a couple of turnovers that led to some points on special teams. They had the block punt, and then they had the interception return for a touchdown. But offensively, they not good.
I think we can all agree that the wins are not going to be pretty. Like, when they do win, great.
That's
we're happy
point.
They got the win, but they're not going to be
winning
pretty.
Winning ugly has worked out for them. Now they have three in a row. But, like, even on special teams front, I mean, that's on the Buffalo return guy. The kid from Clemson that just basically coughed it up.
Yeah.
You know, that's, but other than that, you know, look, I'll say that, first of all, it needed to get better, but thank God their special teams is better than it has been over the last 5 years, whether you go with Joe Avizano or you go with Izzo. But either way, you needed to do something different, and at least Bill O'Brien got that part of the coaching tree right, if not nothing else. But, you know, even defensively, you would have thought that this was a team that Green Bay's defense isn't great. And Green Bay was all over Allen all day. I figured with Watt and Clowney and all these guys, they were just going to have a field day. And they didn't.
Yeah.
So,
and did I miss, by the way, I said pump block. Didn't they block a punt?
Yeah, they did.
Okay. I was like, wait a minute. Did I remember that wrong? Because all the games run together for me, so that's my bad.
All right, Robert's been holding a little bit. He wants to talk about the Texans' offensive line. Right time to do that is now. So, Robert, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Thanks what's up? Call.
So, yeah, offensive line is a church. I mean, I think we had three or four botched snaps under center. I mean, like, not even a shotgun, just under center. That's terrible. But let's say we had a great offensive line besides that obvious junk. And even if Watson's holding the ball too long, no one's getting open for him to throw to. I mean, Hopkins can only do so much. And there's just no one able to get free very often, it looks like. And then my second thing was, so against the Cowboys, he pulled it down and ran and got clobbered. Mm-hmm. We're down there on the goal line. It's on that third down play. And I'm just looking at him like, bro, why aren't you bringing the ball down and scrambling to the left? And maybe he was just gun-shy from getting lit up so bad last week, because I think he could have made it. If he would have pulled it down and instead of forcing that pass, he pulled it down and booked it, I think he could have made it.
Well, Robert, you bring up a good point that I was going to mention too, and this is something that goes back to something Barry said a few weeks ago. It's starting to show. Deshaun's a little gun-shy. Mm-hmm. He's got a little David Carr in him now because he knows he has been hammered for the last couple of weeks, and as tough as he is and as athletic as he is, he's taken a beating. And you can see that there are moments, like Robert's talking about, where there was a lane he could have run, but at the same time, he's starting to feel it now. So I think he's changing his mind.
Any normal human being that gets banged around that much trying to do your job, you're going to get a little gun-shy. You're going to be a little hesitant to try to stand in the pocket. In fact, so there were some throws where he was standing in the pocket, and I'm like, run, please don't get a hit in the knee and get hurt. And he was still standing in the pocket bravely and throwing the ball downfield. Now, of course, you can talk about decision-making and all that, But even then, I'm just, man.
I think it was from the get-go. When you had the back-to-back sacks, I think right there, it messes with your head. Right there.
You're just like, oh, it's going to be a long day.
Third down on the one where they settled for the tying field goal, where he rolled to the left, and he had, was that what Robert was talking about? I'm sitting there looking at the TV, and I rewound it going, no, there had to be a linebacker or someone closing, and it was just a clear-as-day lane. And he tried to throw it instead and squeeze it in there. And then you think about it and you go, you know what? But you can't really blame him because the Smith hit that he took in the Cowboy game should give you a little bit of a second thoughts when you decide to get out of the pocket. Because even when it looks like it's clear, man, there are guys on defense in the NFL that can close in a heartbeat and you're going to feel it.
Yeah. Somebody said, did y'all see Watson basically said to JJ he doesn't know what to do with this line. I didn't see that. Did you see
I did
that?
Not.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I did not see that either.
So. I felt good that JJ said, look, I don't think we've played our best football yet. Because at least he feels like the rest of the city.
Somebody texted and said, it's hard to judge Watson if he's dealing with this god-awful offensive line. Is it really his fault? Running backs can't run. The line can't block for Watson. It's a lose-lose situation. Well, the running backs can't run because the line can't block. I think Lamar Miller would be a serviceable to good running back, not great, maybe I shouldn't say good, above average running back if he had an offensive line that would run block, but they've not done anything well the
Watson
last couple
had a
three
bad
games
game in terms of statistically decision making, protecting the football, as we talked about. But I'm not poo-pooing on Deshaun Watson,
no,
because putting him in the duress that he is dealing with, not only because of the offensive line, that's one thing, but then how much pressure and how many hits. I'm not trying to put any blame on Deshaun other than, look, clean it up a little bit in terms of protecting the ball and decision-making.
Yeah.
So
somebody said O'Brien's such a big fan of the Rockets, he incorporated dropping back to hit threes into his offense as well.
That's pretty good.
That's very well. Whoever texted that, good on you. That's funny.
Well done. HR&P listener line is open. If you want to text or you want to call like Robert did, or, hey, if you want to reach us via Twitter, we'll do that as well. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Watson, empty backfield, throwing end zone. Hopkins has got it for the touchdown. What a catch!
That's your boy, Nick. Ian Eagle. Hey, and CBS Sports. A little bit of the Texans' victory right there. Nothing but love there for the CBS folks. And, of course, the Texans 3 in a row. 3 straight wins. Look out, Super Bowl on the horizon, fellas. It's coming. Or not.
I remember saying, is it too much to ask if they went 3-3 in the next 6 games?
And I had said, when you looked at Buffalo and some of the teams on their schedule, you're like, you should be playing at a certain level to win 3 games in a row in the NFL. They just lucked out, as I said, 2 coaching gaffes and Nathan Peterman happened to them.
A lot of breaks. They caught a lot of breaks for sure.
They should have beat the Giants though.
That's just so ugly right now. Yeah. As bad as they're playing, the fact that their only win is a huge gaping blemish.
Our friend of the show, Sarah Barshop, posted on the ESPN page for the Texans. After 0-3 start, Texans now, quote, back to where we want to be. That's the most Texans quote I've ever heard. They're 500, and this is where they want to be. They want to be 500. That's like from the Bill O'Brien school of 9-7. We want to be, we're within striking distance of our goal of 9-7 right now at 3-3. Jesus. That's just so sad.
Again, you should have higher aspirations, you know, and the fact of the matter is that when you look at some of the people, Michael Lombardi and others, who had the Texans going to the Super Bowl.
Silly.
And you still hear people on every network when they analyze the Texans going, there's too much talent in that locker room to be this mediocre.
They have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. They just haven't put it together. The one place they don't have talent, though, is
offensive.
The glaring. Yeah. Somebody said, are the Texans overrated? Oof. I don't know. I think you have to be good to be overrated. I don't know that this team is good enough.
But it's hard.
If they were 4-2,
is it hard to argue that a first place team is?
But if they had won that Giants game and they're 4-2, then I would tell you yes, this team with a winning record is probably overrated. But at 500, they're about where they should be. Maybe they're 500. Maybe they're 2-4. I don't think they're overrated. I think they're a 500 football team right now, playing kind of like that, maybe less. But I don't think overrated. No.
But isn't that kind of what an average football team is in the NFL? You hope the breaks go your way, and if you got a 50-50 shot of them going your way, you're going to win some games that are you know, up in the air, and you're going to lose some games. But at the end of the day, because you're so average, you'll probably be 8-8.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm trying to think who would we consider to be overrated at this point.
I still think Cincinnati's overrated.
That's probably a good call.
I agree with that.
At 4-2.
I think Miami's overrated, and they beat the Bears, and they still have a winning record.
Wasn't that with Brock? Brock Osweiler?
Yeah. The Big O came through in a big way yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
And he was excited when they made the game-winning field goal.
Guess who had a better day yesterday, Brock Osweiler or Deshaun Watson? Yeah.
Yeah, Brock Osweiler.
Suck on that, Texans fans.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm just trying to get people riled up.
I really want to look up the numbers now. How good did he have a much better day.
I'll tell you one second.
Here's the other thing, too.
I think he threw 3 touchdowns, 2 picks.
Wow.
Brock's getting props. Case Keenum's getting ripped because the Broncos lost to, in my opinion, the best team in the NFL, the Rams. And that was a close game. But if you look at Case's stats, he didn't play bad.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm going to pull out Deshaun's and do them side by side.
Oh, you love this. I can just tell by your facial expressions you're loving this.
All right, Deshaun Watson's line in the stat, in the stat call, his stat line. 15 of 25 for 177 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. He averaged 7 yards a throw.
Ugh.
His QB rating was a 61.6. His QBR was a 13.5. Brock Osweiler, 28 of 44 for 380 yards, 8.6 yard average per pass, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, no sacks, 63.7 QBR, 94.9 QB rating. So a 94.9 to a 61.6. It wasn't even close.
And both teams got the W.
Yeah. I'm not saying that I would trade Deshaun Watson for Brock Osweiler. I just think it's funny.
Well, Barry, it's the sample size. I mean, if that's the sample size you want to go with, I think there are people out there that'll trade you Brock Osweiler.
It's funny that he did have a much better day, though.
Let me ask you this. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Gaze has already said in Miami, when healthy, Tannehill is still his quarterback. Who's better, Blake Bortles or Brock Osweiler? Because, again, Jacksonville has to be kicking the tires, looking for what else might be out there that they can acquire.
What about Eli to Jacksonville?
I thought about that, too.
Mm-mm. Why would they?
Huge price tag.
Doing that. Who do they got?
But he's
got
to be better than what he's got.
But who do they have backing him up? I mean,
the Giants don't care. They know they're done now.
Yeah, that's true.
So they want the number one pick so that they have their choice. If they want the kid from Oregon, they want the kid from Duke, whoever they want to be able to get. So you might as well tank it at this point.
Yeah.
And the division ain't going to be easy. You still got one with Philly, 2 with Dallas.
Oh, yeah. They're not. Yeah. No. They're 1-5. They're not winning that division.
Texans and pulling even in the division.
Although that division, 3-3, 3-3, 3-2.
It's not great.
They're not knocking anybody's socks off.
No.
It's almost a mirror image of the AFC South. You got the 1-5 Colts and then the 500 Titans, Texans, and Jags. Don't sleep on like a trade with Arizona. Sam Bradford.
Well,
throw him in the mix too.
That's not a bad call too. Yeah, there's another guy.
Because they're 1-5. They're going to let their rookie get snaps. You know, do they really care if they could get a second draft pick?
So the guys we've come up with, Bradford, Fitzpatrick. I don't think the Saints are parting with Teddy Bridgewater because they feel like when Drew does call it a career, they got their guy.
Yeah.
But again, it would behoove you to at least pick up the phone. But there's got to, you know, Miami, I don't know if you call on Brock Osweiler or not. He's experienced.
No way.
But basically, aren't you getting more of the same of what you already have with Bortles?
Yeah. You want at least a guy that's done something somewhere.
Oh, he's done some things. He's gotten paid.
But at least Bradford showed signs.
There's 6 games with the Broncos where he was absolutely fantastic. I just want to let you know.
All right. You got me on that one.
Okay.
Real quick. Somebody just said, what up, guys? Just wanted to text and say, man, y'all show is crazy sick. H-Town to the Bone. I've probably been listening for about a month and a half every day at 1 o'clock. My radio goes straight to the usual suspects. Keep up the good work.
Appreciate
go Rockets,
that.
Go Astros, go Texas.
Smart man.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
Really
appreciate you.
That.
Whoever texted that. Thank you.
That was great. By the way, now, Barry, this is going to be interesting because if this is, I like to roll around and celebrate in the mud, but I don't like to roll around in my own crap when I crap the bed.
Cody,
are you going to take it like
Bills
a man
fan.
With your Bills taking it in the tuner?
Oh, Nicholas. Well, Nicholas, you're welcome for the point.
I appreciate that, sir. I will give you credit. Cody did encourage me to take the points with the Bills. He did say that.
I might be a little biased. But from a Bills fan's perspective, do y'all think that T.I. that put him, I don't know, 40 yards upfield at first and goal was kind of crap?
It was questionable. I will give you that. I remember looking at the replay, and even the guys in the booth who are trying to be pro NFL were like, not sure. That
it was borderline. It was borderline, Cody.
Yeah, it was about 2 or 3 yards out of the back of the end zone. I mean, it's kind of gave the Texans added life at the end of the game.
Oh, you're talking about the one on Fuller? There was another one where they called it, they called a hold closer to the line that negated a big play, and I was like, not sure about that one. The one on Fuller, I mean, there was contact there for sure. And I can remember reviewing that because of the fact that there was a photog in the back of the end zone, and he left one of his other cameras on the ground, and Fuller goes down and he's hurt, and the guy goes to like extend his hand to help him or something, and then he sees his camera. He just throws the camera out of the way and gets the lens up and starts taking close up pictures of Fuller being hurt. It's like, oh yeah, thanks for helping out, dude.
Right,
really nice guy. All right. So we got Bills fans. Cody, he at least reared his head. He didn't talk about
That's
taking
right.
it in the rear with his Bills, but at the same time, we appreciate him checking in.
And this is what's hilarious. Somebody texted, "Wow, all this bitching. Did Fred and AJ move to 1 o'clock? I'm sorry, we didn't say what you wanted to hear, Puddin'. I'm sorry we hurt your little football feelings.
Texans are the greatest things since sliced bread.
Yeah, how is it bitching that we're basically just breaking down what we saw and how we saw it? It's not bitching.
If you want extra cream filling in your cupcake, go to 610 because they're going to give you sunshine and rainbows the entire afternoon.
I just want to be like Jong in life.
Which what?
What?
Because he's part of the Blitz. I just want to be like Jong.
Well, you did on Friday. How'd that go for you?
It was cool.
Yeah, how did it go Friday?
It was cool.
Were they mean to you?
I mean, they were, but I mean, it was cool.
So what you're saying is, if it's typical. Cool that they were mean, you want us to
I
be meaner?
I messed up the gym of the day.
You did?
You would have been proud of me.
You did? Yes.
You would have been proud of me, Barry.
Oh, yes. I owe you $5. Thanks for pulling that off for me.
All right, one in the books, two to go. Zach and Tyler, we see you. Don't go anywhere. We'll get you in to start the second hour of the show. And if you want to be like those guys and get in, the lines are open, 713-780-3776, HRNP Lister line. Call, text. Hey, and if you want positive stuff about the Texans, 610. Radio for you and available 24 hours a day. But true. All right, we'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.